Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we really struggled to find a way to ship our orders out quickly and without error until we started using ShipStation. ShipStation's simple dashboard makes it easy to automate shipping tasks and effortlessly manage your orders from every marketplace, including Amazon, Etsy, Shopify, and more. Print shipping labels, easily compare rates and delivery times, and take advantage of discounts up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. And with enterprise solutions that make warehouse optimization easy, ShipStation scales when your business does. No wonder 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Spend more time growing your business and start automating shipping tasks with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio today and sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Lindsay Rhodes is joining us now from Los Angeles, and she's got The Daily Show from 1 to 3 Eastern. That's 10 a.m. to noon L.A. time on SiriusXM Fantasy Radio. Before we get to any football, Lindsay, you're there in Los Angeles. So what's the weather been like the last 48 hours?
Well, the last 24 hours, Amy, it's been lovely here in Los Angeles. It was a little bit rainy the 24 hours prior. It was, I mean, honestly, I think that there were a lot of people that I've talked to that were kind of more curious than anything. Like, I was like, okay, let's ride, let's go, let's do this, you know? Wow. I never really thought it was going to be that bad, but I don't think anybody thought it was going to be that bad. We just thought that there were some outlying areas where there might be some flash floods, and that's obviously dangerous for people, but I mean, the whole hurricane moniker kind of got a little bit out of control. And then there are people here in the LA, and I fall into this category, that are like, why are you going to do that to us? Because now we already kind of feel like a ridiculous stereotype, and you're setting us up to fail by saying it's going to be a hurricane, and then people are going to go out and buy all the toilet paper and, you know, overreact, and then it's not going to be a hurricane. It's going to drizzle a little bit, and then we're going to look stupid. And we did not fail anyone in that department, because there was no bread on the shelf. I went to Target the day of the tropical storm to get bread, and there was no bread. There were hot dog buns. If you wanted to grill a hot dog on the day of the hurricane, you could, because there were lots of buns. But if you wanted to make a sandwich, not for weeks. Not for weeks. Nope. People are stocking up like it was like the apocalypse. I noticed the alcohol was fully stocked, though. I was like, we are doing this wrong. Okay. Like, what are we doing? You think you're going to be in your homes for like a month and no one's buying the alcohol? Like, I don't understand. But what was funny was while I was out driving that errand, I got a notification like an earthquake has been detected. Stop and drop and, you know, cover your head or take cover or whatever. I was like, is this serious? Like, we're literally, it's tropical storm right now. And an earthquake is happening right now, too. But I didn't feel it because I was in the car moving. So,
oh, my gosh.
All the things. We put a bucket out to, you know, unscientifically measure. It looked like it was probably about, I don't know, 3 to 4 inches.
Nice.
Is my guesstimation. It rained a lot, but it was just rain.
No need to freak out over it, but you never know. Good to be prepared just in case you need bread for the next 8 months.
Well, I guess hopefully someone will bring more bread to the store, because we don't have that.
All right, so it's here, which is kind of crazy, but we're talking days away.
No.
Emotions. What are your emotions about the NFL season getting ready to kick off again?
Very excited. I've been living in this off-season space for so long on the show that I do on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, doing like we're in prediction mode, prognosticate what it's going to look like. And I'm excited to actually see what it's going to look like. Week one is one of my favorite weeks because of that. Like, you spend so much time figuring out who's going to be good and who are the, in fantasy, who are the under the radar players that are going to pop this year. And week one's the first time that you really get a chance to see what the offenses look like, and who they're going to run through, and who's going to be targeted, and who's going to get the volume, and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's the first time you really get answers. And that week in particular, I feel like I find that I'm more interested in some of the other teams, and like, what's it going to look like? The Commanders, who played in the preseason today and actually played their starters for quite a while.
Yeah.
And sidebar, a little bit bummed that Sam Howell looked so good, because he's been my sneaky quarterback guy in fantasy that I've been saying, like, I want to go get Sam Howell. Like, I think he's going to have a good fantasy season, even if he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, because he's established a rushing floor. He's a guy who it will run, he'll run. So, and he did that in college. And so I think the type of quarterback that he is will actually translate well to fantasy, even if he's not an outstanding high level pocket passer, but he's actually looked good in the preseason. So I've been talking him up big time later in the later rounds of the draft as a guy that, like, I'll go get a quarterback earlier and then I'll just wait and try and grab Sam Howell, to the point where people that I've been drafting with, like, now call it out when they snake him from me. They're like, sorry, he's not going to fall to you. And I'm like, damn it.
What do you think the impact could be of Eric Bieniemy with the Commanders?
I don't know. I feel like it's a big moment for him in his career. I think it's interesting that there were early reports in training camp that, like, some of the players were maybe talking about the fact that they didn't necessarily love his approach, and we're going to Ron Rivera talking about that. But I could see that from his perspective, because I think that this is a big kind of prove it moment for him, where you take him away from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and people will be looking to him and give to either give him credit or to take past credit away from him based on how the offense looks in Washington. So I'm not 100% sure. And I think that that's one of the interesting things about Eric Bieniemy, is that nobody knows what's his and what's a product of the people that have been around him, you know? And so I'll be interested to see how this works. I think Washington, God, this is a lot of talk about Washington to start the show, man. But I do think that Washington is a really interesting team to me, because, like, Terry McLaurin is a really good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I think he's proven that he is a very high level wide receiver. Route running, he has all the skills. And then, you know, I'm operating in the fantasy space a lot of times from a fantasy standpoint. He was wide receiver 14 last year without solid quarterback play. He's never had a good quarterback. So I look at him and I'm like, if Sam Howell is an average quarterback, like, that could be great. You know, like, he walks into a situation where he's got a really good wide receiver that I think has flown a little bit under the radar in his career because of the lack of a quarterback that can throw him a catchable ball. And then you've got Jahan Dotson, who I think is a really good complementary receiver, too. I think they've got a really good 1A, 1B situation going there. And then Curtis Samuel for a little bit of versatility, and then the two running backs. And so I think that, and then I think the defense will be better this year too. I think they've got a lot of guys there who are kind of on prove it years. Chase Young, they didn't pick up his fifth year option, so he's really motivated. And I think obviously if he's healthy enough, he is a really good player. I think that the pieces are there to surprise people. I'm not willing to go out of my way to predict that they will. But I do think that they could be a team that could be sneaky. And from an offensive standpoint, I think that the missing link is Sam Howell and then how Eric Bieniemy uses them.
Only team not to make the playoffs out of the NFC Beast last year, but oof, people may not realize they actually had 8 wins. They were not a losing team. They were 8-8-1. We're excited to have Lindsay Rhodes back with us after the long, empty off season in the NFL, as if we didn't talk about football at all. And she's got
never
her,
empty.
She's got her show on SiriusXM Daily. It's a fantasy channel, and it's 1 to 3 Eastern. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so I want to talk about this Jonathan Taylor / running back plight that has been such a big topic in the offseason.
Yeah.
First of all, as you think about fantasy, how high are you willing to draft Jonathan Taylor considering some of the injury issues and everything else that's going on?
Yeah, I predict that I will have 0 shares of Jonathan Taylor across all of
really?
My fantasy teams. Yeah, because the one that's also, like, so Jonathan Taylor, this was a very specific draft. I'm trying to remember what the structure was. I've done so many drafts lately. Jonathan Taylor, it was a super flex draft. So that's the 2 quarterbacks, and obviously that moves the quarterbacks up the board. And so it's not your typical round structure for the wide receivers and running backs. They get pushed down the board. But Jonathan Taylor was available in the 5th round. Like, no one wanted him.
Wow.
And just kept pushing him down. Now, I even then didn't click draft but somebody else did. He went in that round. And the reason is that Josh Jacobs is also falling farther than I think he should because of the whole holdout, and people are concerned about what that'll mean for him, whether or not he'll even be there week one. There's no guarantee of that. My read of those two is that they both have to show up for week one. Like, this is a total cut your nose off to spite your face situation.
Right.
If you're going to actually lose more money, your argument is that you're not getting enough money and you're going to lose more money to make the point that you don't have enough money. Like, that's, I don't get it, but I do understand. I understand their frustration. It's just not going to change. It just is what it is. This is the ultimate is what it is situation. And the writing has been on the wall for the last couple of years. In his situation, I think what Jim Irsay sort of passive aggressively said this past weekend about, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was like, I really look forward to Jonathan Taylor proving that he can be the guy he once was again. And I'm like, that is his problem. He wasn't good last year.
Right.
He wasn't good. The team wasn't good. In addition to all of this holdout stuff, and the return from injury stuff, is that he established such a low floor last season. And I don't necessarily think it was all his fault. I think the O-line was a disaster.